WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. Terry Gross is out sick today. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Secretary of State James Baker is furiously trying to get a Middle East peace conference started in the next few weeks. Just organizing the conference has at times seemed impossible, so actually solving the problems in the Middle East often seems truly hopeless. But the Foundation for Middle East Peace decided to go ahead and try to come up with a solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. They brought together a Palestinian and an Israeli to hammer out a detailed plan. The Palestinian, Sara Nesebe, is a leading activist and a university lecturer in philosophy. The Israeli, Mark Heller, is the author of A Palestinian State, The Implications for Israel. They've published the details of their plan for a two-state solution in the new book, No Trumpets, No Drums. Heller and Nesebe both admit that their plan is not an ideal solution, but is the least undesirable choice. It calls for two separate nations with a boundary that roughly adheres to the 1949 borders, with a Palestinian state located in the West Bank and Gaza. The two men felt that if they couldn't agree on a plan, then how could all of the Israelis and all of the Palestinians ever find a workable solution? They were able to agree on a proposal and even became friends during the process, but it wasn't easy. They had many different views and interests. Sara Nesebe told Terry Gross that one of the hardest questions for him was who has more of a right to the land.
As far as I was concerned, you know, as a person who was born there and who grew up there, who has had family roots extending back hundreds of years in Jerusalem, it was very difficult for me to accept having to negotiate over part of this country with someone who was basically somebody who had made aliyah to Israel from Canada. Now, you know, but this is one level, and I understand, of course, that on another level or on other levels, you know, how strongly Jews would feel in any case associated with that country. So I don't have a problem, as it were, understanding that on that level, that kind of association. It was a personal problem, and it's always been, actually, and it probably will continue to be. I mean, even today, when I think about people coming over, say, from the Soviet Union, or how easy for them to do so, to come as immigrants from the Soviet Union to Israel, and compare that with how difficult it is for Palestinians who somehow or another seem to be, in my mind anyway, more deeply, genuinely, realistically rooted in the country. It's very difficult to reconcile the two ideas or the two forms.
Mark Heller, did you realize that Sara Nesebe was going through this kind of thought about you and about the different claims that people have on the land? And I wonder what your reaction is to what he just said.
Well, I suppose in the course of doing the work and of getting to know each other, each of us became a little better informed or a little more sensitive to the concerns of the other one. I, for my part, also felt some difficulty coming to grips with the idea that I was being required in order to promote some kind of political settlement, to negotiate basically about what are unilateral concessions as far as territory is concerned. That in the give and take, all of the giving on territory would be done by one side and all of the taking would be done by the other side. I don't think it's realistic for people to proceed from the assumption that they're going to be more sensitive to the other side's concerns than they are to their own. I don't think there's any possibility of making any practical progress. The only way to make any progress is if people explore whether or not they can accommodate the other side's concerns with their own, which is, after all, what they're primarily concerned about.
You're saying that empathizing with what Sara Nesebe just said wasn't important in the process for you?
No, on the contrary, I'm saying that it's very important to empathize with the concerns of the other side and the need to try to accommodate the concerns of the other side, but within the context of making sure that your own basic needs and requirements are met. Now, in this particular instance, on the issue that was just raised, the basic need historic need and requirement of the of the Jewish people for the last 2,000 years has been to have a safe homeland of their own, for which they are not dependent on the goodwill or the mercy of anyone else. And that is the basic fundamental objective of the Jewish state, is to provide a an asylum, particularly for Jews in need.
Now,
can I just say something here?
Yeah,
I just wanted to say that, you know, from my point of view, really, as a Palestinian, I don't think that I'm interested as such in the other side, for instance, Mark or anybody empathizing with me or feeling sympathy or understanding. And I don't think that it's necessary. I think what's more important, really, and what I found interesting about our joint venture this time was that we proceeded from calculations that were based on perceived self-interest. In other words, you know, Mark was proceeding from the basis that he was trying to fulfill in doing what he was doing, the interests as he saw them of Israel. And, you know, I think that's what's important. And as long as in doing that, he therefore achieves or reaches the point where he feels that he can therefore accommodate Palestinian aspirations within a certain context, an acceptable context, I think that's what's important.
Mark Heller, many Israelis and many Jews in the United States see the two-state solution as ultimately a threat to Israel's security. You're offering that solution as something that would secure, that would help Israel be more secure in the future. Why do you see a Palestinian state as helping to make Israel more secure instead of less secure?
Well, I think it's important to qualify the proposition. It's not so much a question of a Palestinian state per se as helping to secure Israel's future, but rather the context in which it is created, which is to say a comprehensive political settlement of all of the outstanding issues in the Arab-Israeli conflict, with appropriate security guarantees in case one or another of those provisions should break down. But at least it creates the possibility for fundamental transformation in Israel's relations with its neighbors in the area, and I would suggest with the rest of the world as well. I think that as long as this albatross hangs around Israel's neck, the albatross being the conflict in general and the Palestinian dimension of it in particular, it will be virtually impossible to secure the economic prosperity and the technological process and the investment in education and infrastructure and the resources needed for the absorption of immigrants and the entrenchment of Israeli democratic values that are necessary to secure the kind of Israel that's important to me.
Of course, a two-state settlement means that Palestinians would have to recognize Israel's right to exist. Sari Nisabi, when did you start to feel that you were ready to recognize Israel's right to exist?
Well, to tell you, I think it was in the 80s, that's to say, within the last 10 years. My personal preference has really always been to go for a binational state, in which Palestinians and Israelis or Jews would share in the political system, in the same political system, would share in the same government, would have equal votes, equal rights in the entire country that is called Palestine or Israel. But I discovered, I think in the 80s, that on the one hand, the Palestinians themselves wanted to be distinct, to be separate from the Israelis, and also, the Israelis, I discovered, were very opposed to the idea of merging their structure with that of the Arabs. In other words, the Israelis wanted a predominantly Jewish state, and therefore they wanted themselves to be separate from the Palestinians. And so it seemed to me that the only way to go about doing things, things that are less than ideal, is to address the two peoples by allowing them to have their national self-expression, each separately within their own state. And hopefully, I still look forward to a future when, having satisfied their national aspirations and feelings and hopes, that the peoples on both sides will be free of, at one point or another, free of the need to express themselves nationally. In other words, that the time would come in the future when people would overcome the national barriers and would somehow or another live in open structures.
If you're just joining us, my guests are Palestinian nationalist Sari Nusseibeh and Israeli political scientist Mark Heller. They've co-written a blueprint for a Middle East settlement called No Trumpets, No Drums, a two-state settlement of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. My guests are Sari Nusseibeh and Mark Heller. Nusseibeh is a leader in the Palestinian nationalist movement. He directs a research center in East Jerusalem and is a university lecturer in philosophy. Mark Heller is a professor at Tel Aviv University, and he's the author of several books on the Middle East. Heller and Nusseibeh have written a proposal for a two-state settlement of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Do you feel that you got any new insights by working together about what holds up any kind of real peace between Israel and the Arabs or Israel and the Palestinians?
Well, on my part, I think my main... I think the main... Maybe the main bit of new knowledge that I got from discussing the project with Mark has been to appreciate the security item in his argument. In other words, I've always, as a Palestinian, heard about the security argument, the Israeli security argument, but it was never really very convincing. It always seemed to me that the Israelis were using it as an excuse rather than as a proper argument for continuing to rule over the territories. And I was never really convinced until I started working on this project. And then I found out that, you know, it is possible that there is some basis for the argument. And I found out also that from my point of view, it is possible to accommodate myself as a Palestinian to this concern.
Mark, do you want to say anything?
Well, I'm not sure I can say I learned something that I didn't cognitively know before, but it certainly reinforced. The exercise reinforced my belief that it is possible if people are... Not even so much a question of goodwill. I think if people are rational enough and reasonable enough to think calmly about their own requirements and their self-interest, and then discuss these in a reasonable fashion, that they can reach some kind of minimally acceptable accommodation or agreement for both sides. And that's why I think it's important that we get this message out.
Let me ask you. I think you completed the book before the war, is that right? That you completed the writing of it before the war in the Gulf?
Yes, that's right, yes.
And shortly after the war in the Gulf started, Sari Nusseibeh, you were detained by the Israeli police and you were held for, was it 3 months?
3 months, that's right.
And
it was 6 months, but then it was reduced by 3 months.
And you were accused of giving information to the Palestinians about where Scud missiles had landed in Israel?
I was accused of being an Iraqi spy, a Scud specialist by the Israelis. But this was a media accusation. It wasn't really a proper accusation.
You weren't formally charged?
No. It was a media accusation. And in any case, they didn't need to charge me. They used the British mandatory laws to put me under administrative detention for, they wanted it to be for 6 months, but then it was reduced to 3 months.
I know you've denied that you did any of the things that you felt you were detained for. What was your response to being detained shortly after trying to, you know, write a book about a negotiated peace?
Well, I wasn't, it didn't affect me actually, because, you know, I distinguish in my mind between people in the Israeli, some people in the Israeli government, officials, I don't know, security services people whose job it is to put people like me in jail. And on the other hand, the Israelis in general, whose interest it is to reach, to have a peace agreement with people like me. And so I didn't really feel offended. I realize, you know, that there is an occupation. The Israelis occupy the Palestinians. We're under occupation. There's a problem between us and them, and we have to pay the price. But this doesn't mean that, you know, by paying the price or through paying the price, one therefore loses sight of where one's interests lie. And I certainly didn't lose sight of where my interests lied. And in fact, when I was in jail, I think my wife brought to me one of the galley proofs to look through. So I was still working, in a sense, on the book right at the end when I was inside a small 2-meter by 3-meter cell.
What's your relationship with each other now? Now that the book is finished, you don't have to negotiate with each other anymore.
Yeah,
we're thinking of going into business.
I realize you're joking, but I'm still interested in knowing if you've become friends, if you talk with each other outside of the book, if that's relevant at all to the process you were trying to work out.
The answer is, in both cases, is yes. I mean, speaking for myself, we have become friends. And it's, I don't know if it's relevant to the process in the sense that people have to be friends in order to do this, but it may become, it may be more than coincidence that they become friends after it's done.
Yeah, I think it's very important, actually, that this has happened, because it's very, in general, it's possible to reach an agreement between two people, and then you come out after you've reached the agreement feeling bitter about the other side. And, you know, you sometimes feel like this when you go into a shop and bargain for something and you buy something and you reach an agreement or you sign a contract and you come out feeling bitter. But in this case, you know, in spite of the pain that went through it, you know, on both sides, at least at the end, I think there's a feeling of, the friendship, but more than this, the feeling that... that something genuine was done, and it wasn't, we weren't trying to con each other or bluff each other, and that we're both doing something serious. I don't know.
I want to thank you both very much for talking with us.
Well, thank you very much.
Terry Gross spoke with Sari Nesebe and Mark Heller, the authors of the new book, No Trumpets, No Drums, which is a detailed plan for a 2-state solution for Israel and Palestine. This is Fresh Air.